Hi, I am Dr. Shaniqua Roberson. I'm 45 years old, and today is October the 27th, and I live in Mobile, Alabama, and I'm here interviewing today with my partner, Marcus Roberson, who's also my husband.
Yes, I'm Marcus Roberson. I'm 44 years old, so it's October the 27th, 23. I also live in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay. So sitting here, I was thinking, what is your proudest moment in life?
My proudest moment in life. I had a couple. One is meeting you. Being you is one of my proudest moments. You changed my life inside out. Also, having my son was the next proudest moment. And my third proudest moment when I took over the Alabama Kings basketball organization. So I have about 120 kids in the organization. So developing kids to the for basketball is a big purpose of my life. And what about you?
I would look at it as the proudest moment in my life. I have several as well. The first one is actually being able to accomplish and receive several degrees, educational degrees. The second two, which is, I won't say is a particular order, it's just all of them are linear, is actually to meeting you, because I think once we got together and we have the same goals, the same dynamics, you kind of push me into things, because I'm the type that has a certain, if I get comfortable in a certain situation, I stay there. Because that's comfortable for me and I'm used to it. So meeting you and having several degrees that I wasn't using, that you kind of pushed me into to say, hey, you'll be great in this, would be a proud moment because of the fact that you said, hey, you can do this, and you believed in me and you believed in what I did and or could do. And the other, which makes it a proud moment for me as well, is because in meeting you, I would have never, ever opened up a business to say, okay, I can do this. I can actually be successful in a business. And especially because I'm a little bit scarier than you. And I tend to kind of fall back with different things. And you said, hey, you know, you can do this, and opening up an educational service in Mobile, AEI, educational services, you said you can do it. And it was in the middle of the pandemic, and I noticed that that's where students needed me the most. And I just remember the nights that you were up there with me to 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, making sure things were right. And you kind of took ownership of it too. So, but I think that was a design, or where we both got together and just partner and made sure that everything that we put our name on, we do it, and we do it to fidelity. So that was a proud, my proudest moment is you and just pushing to where we can just be in life.
Saying that, say this, what's your favorite moment for you?
My favorite moment. Oh, gosh. The part that I keep going back to when I think about us is we got married so untraditionally. You know, we didn't do the
church
wedding or the big wedding or the fancy wedding.
And your family's a big church.
And yes, my family, we're big church people. But we got married at the courthouse, and just going through that ceremony of things, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, the way we laughed and through the ceremony and just had fun with it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, are we going to take our life and just laugh through that one? And everything will be funny because, of course, it was interesting at the day of the courthouse. So that is probably the most favorite memory that I have. It's because we started the journey together. Mm. What about you?
Mine was the first year anniversary. Cruise. Cosme, oh, you was pregnant.
Yes.
Yes. So I feel that that was one of my favorite moments, memories. Just because, you know, that was your first time on a cruise ship and enjoying the moment. So,
being big.
Yes, yes, yes. But we made the best out of nothing on that trip. So
we always make the best out of nothing.
That was a moment to remember forever. So, young. Oh, my God. Oh, man.
See, oh my.
Do you want to tell the story?
You can tell it.
I worked two jobs, and one of my jobs, my part-time job, was at a adult store. So, you know, we sold DVDs and different stuff, and her and her friend came in to in the store because, oh, one of her friends came in, wanted a gift for her, what was?
Her brother.
Her brother, yes.
Yeah.
And I point him to the DVD section and go, his DVD is over there. So she was shy. She was shy. She didn't want to come in the room, in the building at all. And she finally came in and, you know, I pointed in the right direction. And my friend said, hey, my friend was interested in you. I gave you the number, right? No, you asked for the number.
No, I have a friend who's very outgoing. And like I said, I'm very reserved. And so Myra was like, come with me because I got to send Derek some DVDs overseas. And I was just like, oh, I'm not going in that store. Are you kidding me? And she was like, oh, whatever. You got to live a little. So we went in and she was talking to Marcus, and she was talking to you, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And she asked you for some DVDs, and you said, is it for you and your partner? And she was like, no, that's not my partner. I'm getting it for my brother. And so what she ended up doing, she paid for the DVDs, and we both got into the car. And she told me, hey, I left my debit card in the building. And so I said, you better hurry up and go back and get it before he takes your information and use it in on your car. So she came back into the car and she handed me a piece of paper. And I was like, what is this? And she said, it's the guys and their phone number. His name is Marcus. And I think that y'all will be good together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh, I know you didn't do that. You didn't go in there and tell that man that I wanted him, did you? And she was like, no, but y'all will be good together. And she actually called you, if you remember that night.
Mm-hmm. Why you didn't call your friend? Why you didn't call?
No, she called you and she said, oh, I was just making sure that this was the right number.
Yes,
so
yes,
I wouldn't come in there and have to beat you up or something. So that's kind of basically how we met. And then she ended up calling you to ask you, are y'all going to talk? Because I wouldn't call. I think I was kind of scared to call.
Yeah, sure.
And so she kind of like navigated all that. And that's how we got together. So I contribute her for everything. But in looking at that, I think it was God intervention, because I never would have said anything if she didn't kind of like steer the steering wheel with that one.
God intervening at the adult store.
So, yes, yes.
That's
yes.
It. We always wondered if we were going to tell our kids
that story.
How we met. That's going to be funny. Yes. So, yep, that's the biggest thing. So, and looking at favorite memory, my favorite memory that I have of you is the day that Marcus was born.
Hmm.
Because you were so in tune to the delivery. And so, and then I thought it was funny too, because once we had Marcus, I don't even know if you remember that I was throwing up from the anesthesia, and your mom and my mom were trying to take care of me. And so, and I'm looking like, where's my husband? And he's over there taking pictures up and down. Marcus is this size. He's this size. And I'm like, okay. So he is so in tune with his baby being born. And just to see that dynamic of how he was or how you were the day of, I knew then that you would be the best father to have. And so, and looking at that, I think that has spilled through in every dynamic of your life right now, because of course he started playing with the Alabama Kings, and then you were in tune with that being his coach, and that you're still coaching him to this day in this organization, and you took over the organization just to make it better for students and for players that indirectly or directly say helps him as well. So I think your true desire of the father figure has carried through from him to Alabama Kings to you helping with Theodore High School's basketball fall league. So I think that family, that father dynamic has carried out through, and it started with that moment of when you laid eyes on him in the hospital, when you realized that your baby was born. So.
Yes, I saying that to say this, that stems me in that direction, dealing with other kids that didn't have the opportunity or fathers that would be there. So from the city league to the AAU side of it, that pushed me to coach and keep the gym open for the other kids that don't have the opportunity to play the game or have someone there to talk to. So,
I remember when you started this organization, and I want to see if you remember this, and how all these young men used to come over our house and spend the night on the weekends. And I used to say, Marcus, I'm tired of other folks' kids staying here, because I felt like I had more everybody's kids more than my own kids. But now it seems like I have a line to your thoughts, because we started with, okay, having these kids. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, every weekend we have Alabama Kings kids. We have West Mobile kids at our house because of all these sports. And so now it just has filtered through, because we still have kids at our house, and it doesn't bother me whatsoever, because now I look at it to say I'd rather them be at our house than to be at somebody else's house be somewhere in the streets.
Yeah, that was the whole purpose of it, just keep them around, build a bun I didn't have when I was young. It was a young bun. When you start young, it's easy to deal with, you know, keeping the kids around. So that was my biggest thing. I didn't have that when I was a kid. So that's definitely one of the things I want to push: friendship, brotherhood, keep them around the house. Then you know what they're doing. Won't get in no trouble. So
or less.
Oh yeah, less trouble. They definitely gonna get in trouble some kind of way.
Now, that leads me to ask you this.
What's that?
Since you said that you didn't have this growing up, how has your life been different than what you imagined? So when you look at where you are now and where you started, or your adolescent, teenage, young adult years, look at it from there. How do you think, or how has your life been different than what you imagined, what you saw that you wanted your life to be as you were growing up?
My mom raised me, a single parent. I didn't have the opportunities. I had, you know, she put me in a position, but the opportunities and exposure that my son and his teammates have was different. We played in the city league, inner city. So we stayed right here in Mobile. The kids around me now, oh, man, they've been to Atlanta, New Orleans, up and down Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, just, you know, they travel a little bit more on football, the basketball. So they got a little bit more exposure. That's the biggest thing, exposure, getting out, playing different levels of basketball. I didn't have that, you know, because my mom, like I said, she's a single parent. So she didn't have the means or didn't, she just didn't do it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the vision of me exposed the kids, got them more opportunities to play different levels of basketball, so.
I look at that because I laugh because, of course, you know me growing up, I always said I was going to be an attorney. I'm going to be an attorney. I went to school, majored in English, so I can go to law school. But then I ended up, you know, teaching. And I realized after maybe the second or third year that I like teaching. And so I never imagined me staying in education for 25 years and saying that I'm going to do this because I always said, nope, I'm not teaching anybody's child. I don't like children, and realized that I did like children. And so now I feel like I'm the biggest or one of the biggest advocates for kids. And I see that with AEI now and the educational service I have in Mobile, and just listening to the parents that every day that I come and talk to that tells me, hey, I'm glad that you did this. The biggest accomplishment or the thing that I had yesterday, one of my students who started coming to me never said one word. He just came and got tutored and just kept going. And so we just had that dialogue. So yesterday he came up to me while I was tutoring some students, and he handed me a letter. And so I'm reading a letter, and it was from the University of Mobile, who offered him a 50% scholarship. And just to look up at him, that he's never really talked much. And he was like, thank you. And I said, why are you thanking me? And he said, because you helped me make this possible. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, really? I said, and I always like to look and see how their mindsets are and what they're thinking about. And I said, well, how do you think that I'm going to help you make this possible? He said, because I wouldn't have gotten it if you didn't tutor me on the ACT and making sure that I got my ACT score up. So I was like, oh, okay. So he made that connection. And to look at his face, to see how he was so happy that this was his very first, because he's a senior, this is his very first scholarship offer. And so it made me feel happy because I said, oh, he noticed that I'm instrumental in helping him get to this point. And that's where I always wanted to do and wanted to be with students, is to help them get to levels that they felt like they would never get to. And then I look back on it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I would be that person. Mm-hmm. I would be that person that will help kids and help them on a whole different level of life. So that's the part that I didn't imagine. I thought I was going to be this high profile attorney fighting cases and making money, I guess, looking at what television would give you. And then now I'm still fighting to get kids what they need in life so they could be successful. So I just thought that that was interesting to see how that had totally shifted, but I still have a higher purpose.
Yeah, you know, with the education system, you dealing with more and more. I mean, how you feel about the teacher shortage we have? You see a big deal when you're doing the tutoring, right?
I do. And that's probably the saddest moment. So, like, if people ask me, just like this morning, I was having a conversation with a parent, and I was trying to get him to understand because he was very upset about his son's grade. And he said, and I don't understand how he made a straight A last year in math, and now he's struggling. And I said, well, last year he didn't have a teacher the whole year. He had a teacher half of a semester. Mm-hmm. I said, so you have to understand he got 50% of the work, and now he's in a class, not only a class, but a dual enrollment math class, and math builds on each other. He didn't get 100% of the work last year, so now you're seeing the effects of it, and unfortunately, that's where our nation is going to. A lot of parents think that, oh, I'm sending my kid to school, and they are asking their students, how was school today? Some parents make that an equivalence of, if I didn't get in trouble, I'm doing good in school.
Right.
And so, but they're not understanding that it's not about just the trouble. It's about, I wonder how many parents actually have to ask their students, do you have a teacher? Because in kids' mind, if you say, well, how was school today? And they're like, good. In their parents' eyes, oh, that's great. I never got a phone call, so I'm okay with that. And then, or they'll say, you know, such and such, oh, my teacher was there. And half the time, the kids don't even know, unless, you know, especially if they're older, it's a sub. And so when parents look at a report card, they don't realize that if you have a sub, legally, they can't fail your student. They have to give them a minimum grade.
So that's why you see an influx of kids needing help with the tutoring.
Yes, because of the simple fact that they'll get in, and once they do get a teacher, that teacher picks up where they are. You think about it, it's 30 kids in a class. It's hard to meet everybody where they are. So the teacher meets the middle ground, and you either have kids that will rise to that occasion or they'll get lost in the shuffles. And that's because some of them don't have a teacher. Think about it. I'm working in Montgomery this week at a school, and they're short 12 teachers in the entire school.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you got another school that's just right down the street that's short 9 teachers. And people think, oh, it's just 9. It's just 12. But think about when 12 teachers are teaching 100 kids, you got 12,000 kids. That's just boom. So with that, I think about what the future holds for me and what the future holds for us, like you and I in general. With that, I believe that I believe AEI will grow. The educational service will grow some because of the need of education and getting things together. Also, I even looked at it with you because I was actually telling one of our parents this when she was talking about it, and she said that I just felt like my son is not learning how to be an athlete or what. And I said, okay, put him with my husband. If you want him to be a basketball player, put him with my husband. I said, Marcus has free trainings on Tuesdays nights, talk about basketball skills. And I even told her, I said, and once he does that, you got to look at it. I said, because what Marcus is doing right now is all of his high school players are playing AAU ball. He's taking them around the Southeast. He's getting them exposed, and that exposure is a bigger picture, because unfortunately, being in education and being a former school counselor, they're not recruiting anymore in the schools. They're recruiting in AAU ball. They're recruiting in travel ball. And especially down here, when you have Mobile thinks that football
city.
We're the football city. So basketball kind of gets pushed in the background, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, it's just basketball. So when you have an organization like yours that's saying, okay, let's show students that basketball, let's show athletes, players, that basketball is more important and are actually equally important, rather, and they're going to get it. And so when I talk to your basketball players that you put in the ACT camp, you would just, I don't know, did you talk to your parents when they did?
Yeah, yes, they was excited about it. I mean, that's just something that I want to continue on doing is pushing that ACT for them. So that's one of my biggest things I want to work on in the future, pushing that from park ball to AAU to pushing those ACT scores up.
And they were excited, and that was, I think that was just a piece that I feel like Mobile is missing.
Yes.
You know, especially not being originally from Mobile and being, you know, living in California, then coming to Mississippi and then migrating to Mobile, I can see the difference in what people put their focus and their attention on. Because,
yes.
Like, you know, Terrell, my brother, he went to college for basketball. California at that time was a basketball state. You know, basketball was equally important. And then you come to Mississippi and you see now this, it's a shift in not only basketball, but football. And then once you definitely come to Mobile and you see the community in Mobile, it's football, football, football. You know, get them in football. Football is going to be their way out. And I'm like, no, you got so many avenues that will help a student get out. And so to hear that, to say, a parent to say, well, I want my child to learn how to play basketball, and I want to see what avenues can lead them to other places. To me, that's great. That's great that they're not just pushing football, they're pushing the basketball, and not only basketball, but they're pushing the academics, which I feel like is the key to both of them to get somewhere. So that's what I see the future holding, not only for me with the educational part, but for you with the athletic part. And I think that by us being married and understanding that from both of our perspectives, we can partner and conquer and do something with
Yes, definitely. Saying that, I mean, that's one of the biggest things, getting the kids young into the program, you know, then from being 5U to 11U, pushing the kid out to the middle school, making the middle school team to AAU side of it. That's my biggest drive from 5 to 11 is getting those kids to on a middle school team. So that's a strong point of my organization. I'm pushing more. Then you get through that level from middle school, getting the grades for
AEI and ACT.
Yeah,
Yes. Now, let me ask this, because I always know that we can't do this forever.
What's that?
Just anything. We can't do it forever.
Right.
Oh, so when we are 65, 70 Oof. Years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, at that age, people tend to start reflecting back on their life because they're in that phase. So when you get to be 70 and you're reflecting back on your life, what would you like to be remembered by? What you want people to remember you by?
That I was a fair guy. I was fair. Gave the kid a chance. Honest. Real. Yeah, he's a real guy.
So then I'm going to make it a little bit deeper.
What's that?
So, MJ, when MJ turns 40 and MJ has to, and somebody asks MJ, what's the best quality about your dad? what do you want Marcus to say?
My dad was there. He was there at every game. Good or bad, he was there. He didn't play in the game, as you see this year, doing football. I was there. I was at every game. I supported him, talked to him. Someone that I did listen, even though times he did get in trouble and he was on his butt, I listened, understood. So
I thought about that because I remember being at my grandmother's funeral. And so when we were getting ready to walk out the church, and I looked, just actually had the time to look at the crowd and look at the balcony and look at all the people outside, I was just like in awe, because I realized how many people remembered her. And then, you know how when someone passed and they come and talk to you about your family members, or they come and visit you just to see what they said about her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me realize that in that moment, especially being in education, how heavy I'm in education, I want the biggest thing that people to remember me by what I did to help them,
mm-hmm.
how I moved them. I get so proud when I see, and I know I'm telling my age again, but I get so proud to see that I look at Katina, and I don't even know if I told you this, but yesterday when I was working with teachers in Montgomery, this one of the teachers, she kept looking at me, and she kept looking at me. And of course, you know, I'm looking at her and I'm like, she looks like Katina, but I know she's not Katina. And then she finally just got up the nerve to ask me, and she said, "Are you Miss Good?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "That's my maiden name." She said, "I don't think you remember, but you taught me at Blount High School." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Are you Katina's cousin or sister?" I said, "No, I knew Katina didn't have a sister." I said, are you related to Katina?" She said, "That's my cousin." She said, "But you taught me ninth grade English at Blount." And I was like, okay. And then as soon as she told me her name, I remembered it. And so I said, "What are you doing now?" She said, "I actually teach English here." And she said, "Do you know I loved you? You know, you inspired me." And she said, "I remember the biggest." I said, "So what you really remember in my class?" I said, "Oh my God, did I knock you out?" And she said, "No, I was one of the good ones, remember?" And we were just laughing about it. And she said, "The biggest thing I remembered was you teaching us Romeo and Juliet in such an unconventional way." Mm-hmm. She said, "I still remember that." And she said, "And I actually teach Romeo and Juliet just like you." And so that made me proud. I said, that's the things that I can feel like I've accomplished in life, to know that once I get 20, 30, 40 years down the road, people still remember something about me that carried them through. So that was a proud moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and looking at that, what do you think? What do you think the future holds for us if I said, okay, Marcus, what you want us to be doing next year? What are you at them?
Building more. Just continue on with both organizations. I want to add more to what we do, help more kids. This year, I train free for 1 month. Next year, I want to do 2 months of free training for the kids. Just continue on building both programs.
Okay.
You know.
And it's funny because the time that I've been sitting here, I said, you know, I think people outside of us in a conversation like we're having now, because I know we live through both the programs that we have. But like I told someone before, we have such a great relationship. We have a great dynamics. You know what I love. I know what you love. And because we both have passions that we believe in, I think our life revolves around that. And then when you look at it and we got our kids fitting in that dynamic of the education, of the athletics, and moving with them, I think that's our biggest thing, because I know every goal that we have is a goal that not only helps community, but in turn, once we're accomplishing things in a community, I think that's the driving force, because we're on the same page with that's the thing. Those are the things that we want to do. And so that's why I'd always ask that, because I know we got two more years of our boys being in high school. So after that, do you see yourself still continuing in the path with helping kids?
Yeah. I say yes, because it's like a parent asking me the other day, Tuesday. I was tired going in the gym. But when those kids stepped in the gym, it's like I had another
burst of energy.
That what motivates me, keeps me going. Long day of work, and they come to the gym and watch kids get excited, want to be there, running up to you. So that's something I want to continue on doing. Keeps me going. What do you say? Keep you younger.
Keep you younger.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
So if you said, "Hey, Shaniqua, this is in 5 years, this is what I think that you should be doing. What do you think I should be doing in 5 years?"
5 years. School.
What about school?
Doing your school. Doing that. Yes, I think getting to the school system, having your own. Because sure. Yes, I think that's a direction. Because I feel like your heart and the people that surround you, their heart are more, they are in it. You know what I'm saying? So that's something, that's a big accomplishment, but that's something that can happen. You know, what me and you talked about, you know, from a small building where you're at now to getting a bigger building and push a school. Start with something like that.
Okay.
You know, I think the support is there. You have a good supporting cast with teachers right now, qualified teachers. So that all your teachers are want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I didn't say I'm blessed with that. I'm blessed that I do have a good group of teachers who.
And likewise with me. I feel like, you know, with my basketball organization, I got guys that want to be there. You know, training for free, they come into the gym, want to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's where you got to surround yourself around people that have that same desire and want and goal. It's not about money. It's about helping the kids.
And I know because I hear that all the time. They're like, "You're the cheapest tutoring service around here." And even one parent asked me one time before, she said, "The quality must not be there because you're cheap. Is it quality?" I said, "Yes." I said, "But you know, we all have full-time jobs and we do this because we love to do it. And that's the biggest difference, is we know that there's a need for it. And it's not about us trying to become millionaires here. It's about trying to change lives." I think we had a good conversation today. You know, we used to have these, and we still have them, if we can stay up late.
Yes, I know, right?
Because I know I be talking to you, and all of a sudden I look, and you are just like knocked out. Because I know I'm the late person that stays up to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So this was a great conversation.
Anything else you want to hit on?
No, that would be all.
All right.